Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to The Future is Female. This is the show where we find the extraordinary in every woman. I'm delighted to introduce my guests today, Dato' Amy Morris. She's the chair of the 30% Club Malaysia, and she recently retired as CEO of Maybank Investment Banking Group, as well as joining us, Dr. Sumitra Nair, Senior Director and Head of Sustainability at Telekom Malaysia. She recently graduated as 30% Club Malaysia's Board Mentoring Scheme, as a graduate of that scheme, which is a program that's designed to fast-track women into board positions in public-listed companies. So welcome to the show, both of you. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me today. If I may begin with you, Amy, just to get a sense of what the 30% Club Malaysia does, its initiatives, and the type of impact that it's aiming to make.
Okay, so firstly, maybe just to set a bit of context. The 30% Club is a what we call a global business campaign. So basically, it is run across six continents. We have 1,400 members who are all voluntary advocates, right? These are people and companies that are very, very passionate about how to unleash the economic potential of diversity, equity, and inclusion with a specific focus on gender diversity. As you know, women are half of the population, but what we call the leaky pipe, which is fairly typical across most organizations, is that women may start you know, at the base, at the executive level, for example, being half of the workforce, but as you move progressively up, there are fewer and fewer women. So this is the what we call the leaky pipe. Naturally, when the seats of decision making, that what I call the seats of power, don't have that representation of minority groups, not that women should be considered a minority group, but at, you know, at senior management, at board levels, at the levels of chairs of committees, if there's not enough women representation, then issues that are very important for the company, for companies themselves to become successful, then, you know, are not capitalized on. So when you ask about what are the impacts, right, of the 30% Club is intending to make, it's very simple. The 30% Club is all about the business case of diversity, equity, inclusion, particularly gender DEI, because there have been enough studies, whether it's local, regional, or global, that have shown substantive data points that companies that are better represented, that celebrate diversity, including gender diversity, are more successful companies and have a much higher correlation with better returns on equity. Basically, you know, they are more successful overall, including in terms of profitability.
Okay, so a few months ago, 30% Club Malaysia announced that it had reached that 30.6% of women in board seats in the top 100 public listed companies in Malaysia. So would you consider your job is done, given that this was actually 6 months ahead of schedule, right?
That's right. You know, I mean, in 2015, I'm sure the founders of 30% Club Malaysia thought, oh, that it was going to be such an uphill struggle. It has been an uphill struggle, and it's fantastic that we've reached just shy of 31% of top 100 public listed companies having women, 30% women on board on an aggregated basis. Yes, we are very proud of the achievement, but a lot more has to be done because there are, you know, what we are intending to do now is by 2030 to have all public listed companies to have a total, to have 30% women on their boards. And that is going to take about 351 additional women to become board ready and to be in those seats of power to make effective transformation and change to ensure that their companies really are successful.
Right, so 2030, it's across the board, all companies to have 30% women representation on boards. I want to come to the conversation about the board mentoring scheme, because you said 31 additional women are needed to achieve, 351 additional women needed to achieve this goal. you're going to have to prepare them for the coming years. But the board mentoring scheme is one of the initiatives under 30% Club Malaysia. Can you tell me a little bit about that? And I want to come to you, Sumitra, as well, to learn about your experience as a mentee under one of the cohorts.
You know, there are three C's to me for in terms of when you want to understand board readiness amongst women. You know, firstly is that your competency, your domain specialization is assumed. The confidence bit is something that perhaps a lot of women, you know, have issues with. You know, there's always self-doubt. Mm. Even for me as a professional woman who's been in the financial services for over three decades, I sometimes wonder, am I good enough? Mm. And the third aspect of being board ready is really courage. Because as you know, the context that of today's world with the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, it has been a fantastic opportunity for the whole world to coalesce around 17 defined goals that really matter for good societal impact, positive societal impact, and planetary impact. So, you know, converging around these goals has been something that has really underpinned the agenda around DEI. Mm. So the 351 women that are required, you know, and the board mentoring scheme, et cetera, is really to bring, you know, the three C's together, the competency, the confidence, and the courage to make the necessary impact. It's all about impact. How much impact can we, you know, bring to the table to ensure that no one's left behind, you know, that there is just transition, that there's energy, the energy transition roadmap for Malaysia is successfully executed, and is to make sure that the women, you know, don't have these lingering doubts, and that and when they say that they're only 80% ready, you know what? That's good enough, right? Okay. And you learn along the way.
Right.
Sumitra will,
No one is kind of born ready, right?
That's
you
right.
have to kind of grow into the role. Yes. Sumitra, what made you want to? So how did you first come into contact with the board mentoring scheme? Was it out of your own initiative to apply? How did it happen for you?
Yeah, so I think very interesting what Dato' Amy mentioned, and I must say this imposter syndrome is very real, right? We always feel we're not good enough, and we always feel we need to prepare. In fact, we were just talking about it just now, how we always think we need to be over-prepared for anything, right? And so I think similarly, when I was at a point in my life when I was thinking, okay, what's the next in my phase of life? I've just crossed my five series, you know, not ashamed to say, and thinking about, you know, what that next phase of life would be, because having led a very active lifestyle, you don't want to be, you know, sort of wasting that experience. And also, I couldn't imagine myself gardening and, you know, doing whatever, right? And so then I started to observe the board members within my own organization, but other board members that I knew, you know, and I was inspired to like sort of understand what exactly do these board members do, right? Beyond what I would see in my own engagement with them. And I felt, I think perhaps I can do that. But I'm not sure exactly if I have what it takes. And so I started to do my research like all women would do. Mm. And that's how I came across the board mentoring program, which led me to Lead Women. And I was invited through Lead Women into the program. So I must say it is partly my own initiative to, you know, look for it.
Okay.
But I think they were also very welcoming in getting.
Can I ask you what you expected when you first participated? What were the expectations? Because often it's, you know, whatever's in our heads, sometimes we build it up differently. What did you expect having gone in, and what were the outcomes having graduated?
Yeah. So I think definitely one is to just have a deeper understanding about board accountability and board roles and what it takes for you to actually sit on a board.
Mm.
And I think the other one was also the realization that I had been limiting myself within my own ecosystem, within the tech ecosystem, right? And I had not really sort of gone out and extended myself beyond that network. And I thought that was important. When I looked at the other board members around me, I felt that was important. So that was my expectation. The two things was, one is a deeper understanding of what it would take. And secondly is to put me in within that network, give me a plug into that network, which I must say it has brilliantly done, because it has opened up so many doors in terms of not just other potential boards or organizations that I could get into across sectors, but more importantly, the other women who are in the program, because they all come from diverse backgrounds. Oh. And we are all on a journey. And as what Amy mentioned, the higher you go, the lonelier it gets. And there are fewer and fewer women who are even thinking of having the courage or confidence to get into these roles. And so when you meet other women who are on a similar mindset, you know, that they can give back and they can do more and they want to do more, it's refreshing. Mm. And it's the chemistry is just amazing, you know. You automatically fall into this...
solidarity that you're describing, it gives you that confidence and courage boost that's needed. Your personal experience, how has that manifested in the development of your career and your boardroom journey?
Yeah, so that's interesting. So I was spent the last 10 years of my life being in the C-suite of a government-owned company, Malaysia Digital Economy Corporation. And as I was going through, I think, maybe my sixth iteration of my board CV, which, you know, you have to do as part of this whole process, I began to realize that I needed to perhaps extend beyond what I was doing, you know, and get back into perhaps a little bit more of a PLC kind of an environment. Mm. And that led me actually into the current role that I now have at a PLC, you know, which also happens to be a GLC. So it kind of makes you reflect on the journey you've taken and, you know, where it's going to bring you to next. And it also, I think what for me at least, it also got me to ask myself, why do I want to sit on a board? Mm. And what value I can bring to a board and what kind of board I want to sit on. And I realized that for now, I mean, I still work full time. So for now, I'm looking at more not-for-profit board or an education-based board where I can really contribute the experience that I have, but at the same time, ensuring that there is no conflict of interest with, you know, the role that I now play.
Yeah, so I just wanted to, you know, that's very a pertinent point that Sumitra mentioned, you know, why would you even consider sitting on boards, right?
Right.
Yeah, so from the 30% club perspective is that, you see, in today's world where there is a lot of emphasis on, you know, the ESG, you know, the environmental, social and governance considerations, because everybody wants better societies, a better planet to live in, right? So even with Bursa, for example, you know, they have come up with their own set of ESG imperatives to make sure that Malaysian companies, right, really understand what being a quality company is about, which then, you know, really elevates the investability of the Malaysian capital market. So there are many good reasons for great professional women out there to actually consider, you know, for me, for example, you know, I 6 series, right? So, but I see it as, you know, that journey being, you know, post 60 to 75. That is a 15-year journey for us to be able to really make a difference, to really create that impact. Because from the ESG perspective, the G, governance, is really driving a lot of changes in boardrooms, in discussions, and how, for example, the whole gender DEI conversation has taken up such momentum over the last 24 months.
Yeah.
Yes, because everybody now understands the business case is real, the data points are real, and so now what we need is really to reach out to the great professional women who have so many different types of domains: technology, sustainability, brand, marketing. We've just started, for example, to try and collaborate with women in tech, right? So the opportunities are huge. And as I go back to the SDGs, the Sustainable Development Goals, that's what it's all about. Okay. It's not just about managing risk.
I am very glad that you raised, you know, you both of you kept referencing the fact that after a certain age, many women want to contribute in other ways that they've been doing throughout their career. And just as my observation as a journalist in this field, I noticed that after a certain age, women tend to disappear from the public life. Even journalists tend to seek out male experts, older male experts, for their wisdom and their experience. But the same doesn't always translate to an older woman. With all this life experience and knowledge accumulated over the years, I love to hear that that's being put to good use on in boardrooms. I would like to understand better how it's being put to good use. What differences does having you know, women more than just the solitary woman at the table to create change? What kind of change do we see when there are many more women sitting at boardroom tables? Amy?
Okay, so say for example, when we talk about what's happening, you know, in terms of the current changes in climate patterns and the imperatives around climate action, right? So boards really do need to have that courage to say, how is our business model going to test, going to be able to manage the strains and the risks of all these, you know, with all the changes that's happening. And so, you know, that kind of, to be able to really question and take to task, right, something that we are comfortable with, stepping out of the comfort zone and saying, hey, you know, there's so many different types of risks, physical risks or transition risks, you know, over the next 10 to 20 years as we all try to decarbonize, there are many things that need to change, right? Mindsets, skill sets, biases, you know, understanding of what our company mission really is all about. So there's a lot of substantive data points to show that women have more are more predisposed to be long term in their perspectives. So when you talk about risk management, for example, you know, it is about making sure that you are holistic. You take a 360 view of your company, your organization. So those are the kind of skill sets that need to be introduced into the boardrooms to be able to take on, you know, the current day challenges that are likely to continue over the next 5, 10 years, 20 years. You know, as we all know,
right,
there's a whole series of climate action initiatives that are
And many challenges coming our way, so we have to be prepared. Sumitra, do you notice that you bring a different perspective to the table that sometimes is overlooked and you're wondering, why has no one brought this up yet?
I think certainly, in my last role, I was the only female on the top management.
Wow.
And that really gave me a perspective as to how different we all thought. And what was interesting is when my CEO actually came up and said to me, he said, you bring a different perspective, which I didn't realize he even noticed, right? But he was like, no, you actually do, because I think women tend to be, as what Amy mentioned, you know, you tend to see things the way perhaps you don't allow sort of a groupthink, you know, to take place, right? And you ask the hard questions, and you ask the more realistic questions, like, is this well grounded? Is it implementable, right? And I think often, you know, we are great, and we all know we're great at sort of selling dreams, selling roadmaps, selling blueprints. But when it comes to execution, that's where you need the realism of, and I think that's where women can add value. I think the second one is the unconscious bias, right? Which many times is missed, you know, whether it is in your marketing campaigns, whether it is in your recruitment campaigns, there's a lot of unconscious bias that happens. And I think this is where women can break that kind of unconscious bias. And I've observed that, and I've experienced that even in my own career along the way.
So when we talk about increasing gender representation, we also want to talk about the inclusivity of it, the diversity of the gender representation. How do we ensure that it is there's intersectionality in the representation of women in boards?
Yeah, so the 30% threshold is just a symbolic tipping point where, you know, there is general understanding and acceptance that once you get to that tipping point, then, you know, towards gender parity and greater inclusivity can be accelerated. So now that we've reached that 30% point, say for Bursa Malaysia top 100 PLCs, and for all PLCs is around 25%. So the 30% club, you know, we are almost a victim of our own success. Now we are called the 30% plus club, right?
To change the name now.
Yes.
Where do you go from 30?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. So we go to parity, and as you've mentioned, right, the intersection, because there's not just professional women. We are very privileged to always be talking in terms of professional women, but there are women there in terms of age, ethnicity, geographical locations, the Sabah, Sarawak, East Coast, right? Different domain expertise, sustainability, technology, you know, different socioeconomic groups. Those are the areas where we can start focusing and making sure that we really do, you know, focus on what I call equitability, right? That seats of power really need to be representative so that you are able to have that 360 view and you understand your customers better, right? And particularly also if we are trying, and the most important message for me is that DEI, and especially gender DEI, is really about the battle for talent. And if you want to get the best talent for your company, your organization, and you need to start reaching out to what I call the TikTok generation, they are very values driven. They understand what resonates with them as an individual, what values they want to embrace, the kind of values that brands espouse that they're willing to consume. So in that sense, the battle for talent, you know, is another aspect, you know, of what we will focus on now beyond 30%.
Amy, who's watching the gender DEI? Who's watching if companies are walking that gender DEI talk? Is it not just the regulators, but is it investors? Is it consumers? Is it who's watching?
To me, and like I mentioned, right, over the last 24 months, the upswing, the uptake of, you know, people wanting to talk about DEI has been tremendous because people realize that the next generation, you know, not just the Gen Ys, but especially the Gen Zs and the Gen As, they are built very differently. They don't think in terms so much of the kind of structures, and they don't
stereotypes.
They are not so imbued with the biases that Sumitra mentioned, for example. And if companies and organizations really want to target these segments, they have to understand it's about intersections, as you've mentioned, right? So there's all these considerations that will really, you know, that everybody needs to sit up, because it is about, you know, getting the best talent to run successful companies and to really elevate the investability of capital markets, for example.
Okay. So in the couple of minutes that we have left, I want to hear from the both of you your message to not just the women out there who should be considering the three C's, right? Considering this this next chapter, next adventure in their lives, but also to diversity allies. What do you need from them to be receptive, supportive, create this kind of conducive environment? So it's not always a battle and a challenge for every woman to get into a seat at the boardroom. Sumitra.
I think allyship is definitely critical, and it's great to see how 30% Club is also, you know, facilitating that process of getting more male allies on board. For example, a large number of the mentors, my own mentor was a guy, right? So I think we need more of them to start advocating for this diversity, regardless of what kind of diversity we're talking about, the intersections on board. So, and I'd like to see more of that happen.
All right. And also just to pick up from that, that is something that we really, really are going all out for, to bring on board more male allies. But for all the men watching, I want to say is that, you know, being a silent male ally just doesn't do it.
Right.
You know, do stand up, speak up for your fellow women board members, your senior management teams. Look out for them and, you know, allow them to have that voice. So it's about time also that our male allies, you know, really
walk the talk
and develop a strong and powerful
and use
voice.
Your voice and platform. Sumitra and Amy, very quickly, to the women who are watching tonight, what would you like to say to them to consider perhaps this could be an opportunity for them?
Yeah, I think don't underestimate, you know, ourselves, and always reflect back on the experience that you have, and understand that that experience, regardless of in whatever domain and whatever skill set, has value, especially in, you know, this day and age where we're talking about TikTok and we're talking about empathy and compassion. These are valuable, you know, emotional intelligences that are just as important as any hard or technical skill. So don't underestimate yourselves.
Amy?
Yes, you know, it's never, every day should be about being inspired to bring impact and change. The journey never stops, and, you know, rise to the challenge, right? And if you ever get filled with self-doubt, don't worry. almost everybody have self-doubts, but have the comfort, confidence and courage that, as Sumitra has said, you do have the domain expertise, build on that, you know, and focus on your strengths. Mm,
so self-doubt, but do it anyway,
yes.
Right? Okay, thank you both for being on the show tonight, sharing your experiences and your observation.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
That's all we have for you on this episode of The Future is Female. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching and good night.